We are live, ladies and gentlemen. What Embargo, episode 8. I'm your host, Big Tuna, and with me, as always, is Catfish. Catfish. Catfish, you there, man? Catfish.
Oh, I was doing the silent Bob thing for just a second, but it wasn't. You weren't running with it, so
I didn't see it. I was getting something ready, and I've been drinking way too many mojitos.
Have you not seen the movie Clerks?
I've seen the movie Clerks.
All right. Good.
Dude, you just winced when you picked up the gallon of milk. See, I've seen it. I know what's up. So today, man, that's a tasty mojito. I was talking to Catfish earlier, everyone, ladies and gentlemen, and I was talking about my first mojito is pretty good, but it's my third, you know, fourth, and then even like fifth and sixth where my mojitos really start coming to life. And
why do you think that is? The fourth?
I don't worry about I just don't worry about it much. I don't worry about the sugar. I don't worry about the club soda. I don't worry about my mint. I don't worry about the lime. I don't worry about the rum. I just make a mojito, and I just roll with it, and it's fucking damn tasty.
That's awesome.
I mean, to me, it's worth a motorcycle.
Is it worth a motorcycle?
It's worth a motorcycle.
What kind?
Maybe a Harley, definitely Yamaha. But anyways, we're going to move on. And
you're done.
Anyways, we're moving on, and we're talking about a lot of things today, but the one thing we're going to talk about and we're going to focus on is wide ring gauges and the Romeo y Julieta wide Churchill, which is a 55 ring gauge, which is huge.
You said that awesome.
Romeo y Julieta.
Yeah, right now your wannabe Spanish accent is kicking ass, dude.
I want to be. I'm rolling. So let's get going and let's talk about big ring gauges, and then let's go into the Romeo.
Your palate sucks, dude.
Why does it suck, man? What did
because
I do?
Because we forgot to talk about what was smoking well for you this week. That's our new weekly segment. Remember, we agreed on that, but you didn't remember because you've had too many mojitos.
Yes, that's true. You know what I saw? All right, well,
Was smoking well for you? What was smoking well for you?
I'll tell you one thing. I smoked some Romeos. Romeos are smoking well. I had some really old Ramon Iones that I lit up, which was just incredible.
Which one?
Just special, the SS, the Robusto.
Yeah. How old? What year?
8 years.
That sucks.
It's smoking well. I lit up a Boulevard Royal Coronas yesterday afternoon.
Man.
And that was 4-5. That's 08. So that was about 6 years. And that's smoking like a champ. And it's one of those things you can see why I think so many people love that Robusto. You know, I smoked some old punch that I have. I just got some more punches in the mail.
Yeah, I saw that.
And I'm smoking one. And it's pretty good.
You smoking a fresh one?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
I'm not a fresh one. Fresh ones are in the freezer, man. They're in the freezer. Yeah, it's not old, but it's like a year and a half, 2 years old. But
what's the wrapper like?
It's light. It's light.
Okay. See, the ones that I got, the older ones that I got have that light wrapper. The ones that I really like have that light wrapper.
But
you know, the real floral through the nose.
Yeah, the new ones I got, it was funny because I got some, and I'm still waiting on the other stuff. Who knows where that stuff is? Probably stopped at customs. I have some Petite Churchills and some Short Churchills, and you can see like that dark wrapper on the Romeos.
Yeah.
Really dark Colorado. And then you have this lighter wrapper with the punches. So it was really great to see the difference in the color of the wrappers.
Interesting.
What about you, man? What did you smoke this week?
Rafael Gonzalez, Corona Extra 2009, the one that I sent you in your review, and you said it sucked.
It's not that it sucked. It blew.
Yes, yeah,
it blew,
exactly.
It blew balls.
Man, I don't know. I'll agree that it's extremely unique, and it's definitely a different profile, but man, I had that the other night and it was friggin' fantastic. I'll be interested to review it and see, review it here soon and see where my notes compare to yours in terms of what I was picking out of it, because I was smoking it the other night, writing reviews, and it was just freaking money. I was in love.
The first... Go ahead.
Which is weird, because that's not the typical Habanos profile that I like.
Yeah.
Kind of discovered over time, but it was really good. And then today I'm having... well, go ahead and say what you were going to say, or whatever you were saying.
First of all, I love the size of the cigar. I loved it. Great size. And the first third was really nice, but it just lacked second and final third for some reason. I don't know. Maybe I smoked one, so it's one of those things, you know, and I have another one. I have a smaller size, too, but it's, I don't know. It doesn't speak to me, but then again, you don't like Por La Arenaga, and you like...
however you say that.
however the hell you say that. But... who knows? But at the same time, you like Quai d'Orsay, which the Corona, and so does Guy.
You haven't had the Corona, have you?
No, I just smoked the Corona.
Yeah. You got to have the Corona. The Corona's ridiculous. I don't have any capital right now. Hopefully, if I get hired at this job, then I'll have some capital to.
It's Quai d'Orsay, man. I'm not gonna go down that road.
It's because your palate sucks.
It does, though. My palate really is crappy. But what else did you smoke?
I don't know, because my nose has been kind of out of whack lately, so I haven't. I've been sticking to mainly NC stuff for the most part.
I find when my palate's pretty shitty, I smoke too.
Yeah, just because it's almost like I can taste them a little bit more. I can deal with them, you know. The little Romeo Mille Fleurs.
Yeah.
I reviewed them a while back, and it was a little bit, I think when I reviewed it, it was a little fresh, but it was still pretty good. And to be honest, man, I had another one last week out of that box, and it was freaking awesome. I mean, I was just sold, so that's... I really, after that, I really want to get a box of the Bellicosos and a box of the Cazadores next. I mean, right now, I'm really just enjoying the crap out of their stuff. So, it's whatever it is they're doing right now is hitting my palate. I love their Churchills. I love the short Churchills. Everything that they're doing has been good for me. So,
well, you know, the funny thing is now I have all the Churchills. I have the Churchill, the Y Churchill, the Short Churchill, and the Petite Churchill.
T one, yeah.
So I might just have to do a little boom, 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 boom across the board and see where it is. But, you know, the Petite Churchills I got in tubos. And they're so cute, man. It's just so little, like a little pocket. You know, you just put one in your pocket and you're good to go, man. It's a fun little tubo project by Habanos. Props to him on that one.
Currently, I have the gold medal, which I told you earlier.
Yeah.
Gold medal, which is the LCDH release. It's a standard Corona size. I think it's a standard Corona, 5.5 by...
that was a long time. Well,
5.5 by 42 is a standard Corona.
Well, that's a Corona, that's right.
But it's good. But, yeah, these are from 09, and they have aged wonderfully, so I definitely, if anybody has a chance to get these out here, I'll do a review in the coming months. But if you happen to get your hands on some of them from the 09 era or before, definitely highly recommended at this point.
That's a good smoke. It's a good smoke. But let's move on to
the Anaheim Ducks.
The Anaheim Ducks and Ryan Getzlaf.
The Anaheim Ducks, yeah, Ryan Getzlaf.
Let's give him a salute to say yes. See ya.
I just want to say thank you to the Ducks for absolutely choking balls last night and not showing up in a Game 7 because they absolutely got creamed, and it was wonderful watching that last night. I was amazed, honestly, at how terrible they were. Given that series was badass, I know you're a hockey fan. and that series, all the games were nail biters, and that game just sucked. I mean, that team just absolutely, like, crawled in their hole and completely ruined Timu Solani's friggin' retirement party. So I was very happy last night, 6-2.
I just saw the score of the Rangers Montreal Canadiens game, and do you know what the score was?
What?
It's Rangers 7-2 New York Rangers, man.
Wow.
The Habs just got their asses smacked.
Wow.
That is brutal. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, I'm pumped that Getzlaff and the Ducks had to return home and without anything. So way to go, Kings. Yeah. Good luck with the Blackhawks and Montreal. Montreal, I don't know what to tell you. So you're screwed unless you can change things up a little bit. So, but anyways,
so back to cigars. What are we talking about right now?
Two things, really quick. Large ring gauges. Romeo Y. Churchill. Where do you believe Habanos in the large ring gauges kicks in? What is that number for you?
What do you mean? Like, what do I think is a large ring gauge?
Yeah, like, I would say
54 or above.
54 or above. That's where I was. Because, you know, 52 is pyramides, so 54 is a good number.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the pyramids have always been a 52, so, you know. But you know what? In all honesty, I don't really consider a pyramid a large ring gauge because of the taper. You know, when you're cutting a pyramid, it tapers down, so you're really getting the draw. That's why I've always liked them, because you're getting that focused draw of a smaller ring gauge with a larger ring gauge burning, you know what I mean? So,
To me,
probably 52 is what, when I smoke anything that's 52 or larger, I kind of go, huh? You know, it just seems big to me visually, if you will.
Yeah. I with your earlier statement, I kind of believe that 54s are the starting point of a large ring gauge, and where it gets complicated for me is when you get to these figurados, these, you know, Guavas and Partagas, and you have a large ring gauge. Do you really classify that as a large ring gauge? Because it is a figurado. It's shaped. It's kind of diminishing.
Yeah,
you're looking at that. 54, you got the Partagas. Series
Which
E.
Which one? The E2? Series, is that 54?
That's a 54 ring gauge. You love that thing, man. That's a big ring gauge smoke.
Yeah, you know what's crazy, too, is I had grabbed a couple of those five boxes, you know?
Yeah.
And oddly enough, after I wrote that whole article about RH this last week, I go check my Winador, which I haven't seasoned it ever since I put, you know, 4 pounds of kitty litter in it. And I walk in there and it was 60 RH, which is kind of weird. That's what I get for talking up how stable the thing was. And so, but it normally stays at like 62, 63. But anyways, I always regularly open up all my boxes and check and see, you know, I'd look for beetles, look for mold or any of that kind of stuff just to double check. And when I opened up my box of E2s, they already had plume on them.
Oh,
which
wow.
Was, yeah, I mean, this is 2013, and
wow.
2013 boxes, which is not normal at all. And it was, I mean, it was kind of one of those things where I opened it up and looked at it and just went, oh, crap, is that mold? No, that's not. No, and they pulled they got the little flap back, you know, with the Partagas factory and pulled it back, and I pulled them out. I'm looking at them, I'm like, oh, my God, that's insane. So,
that's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, the other... Go ahead.
I was going to say, it surprises me, too, because the last one I had out of that batch, it seemed like it burned like crap because of the Lajero, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Those need a lot of time. I guarantee you they need at least a couple years because whatever that large ring gauge is using a more percentage of the Lajero leaf in the middle, and it did not burn well. So
I don't think they smoke as well as the D4s or the Siri P number 2s, or basically, I know you're a big fan of them. This is where we differ.
This is where your palate sucks.
This is where my palate just really goes downhill. I just don't think the Siri number 2s really they do it for me. I'd rather smoke something else, but my palate sucks. But you know, the other 54s, you know, you have the Monte Cristo Open Eagle, which I don't even think
we want to talk. Have you ever tried those?
I smoked one. I don't want to talk about it. I hated them.
Okay, I got to get them then. If you hated it, then I got to get it.
I hate it. It's there's nothing there.
I've seen so many of those. I've never had one. I've seen, you know, they have the little Bellicoso looking one, and they have the, yeah. I guess it's a Toro Robusto, whatever.
There's a small one, too. There's like a Petit Corona kind of a thing.
I'm gonna have to try them now, because if you hate them, then I'll probably love them.
Now, my wife and I smoked them when we were in Antigua. I got some, and she's like, I was like, these are light. Why don't you try these? I never smoked them. I just knew they were light. So I got her a bunch of them. And she starts smoking them. She's like, nah, there's nothing here. So I just gave her some Monte number twos, and she's like, okay, that's a little bit better. But and then I smoked them. I was like, these suck. So, I mean, I smoked them, but to me, it's a line where I'm just like, what the hell were you thinking about us? Like, what was going on in your mind when you thought of that? But,
that's funny.
What's up next? Well, you have the Bahique 54.
Okay, yeah, 54 and 56, which I've had both of those. I think they shine with age. I think they really need a lot of age. I know everybody's real hot on the original run Bahiques, and I'm sure they used good tobacco, but I've had some from 2011 that were fantastic, so I think the Bahique is just one of those cigars, and maybe a Templo in general is just one of those types of tobaccos that really needs time to settle. I have some 56s from 2012, and the last time I had one, it was still a little whacked out of balance, so I'm going to wait till next year probably to revisit them.
It's, you know, I think the Bahique 54s are the best Bahiques. You know, I smoked the 52s, 54s, 56s. 56 are just, like, huge, and it's like, ah, oh, whatever. And that's another
best one.
Yeah, I think 54 is the best one. You know, the other 54 is San Cristobal de la Habana.
Which one?
The Figurado, the Piramide.
Really? That's a 54?
That's a 54 ring gauge, man.
Holy crap. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. There's one. And then
it's shorter. It's a shorter Bellicoso, like a Bellicoso Fino Bolivar. It's a little bit, it's what, 5.5?
I think. It's 180 millimeters, so whatever that is in inches.
Yeah, whatever that. I don't know that shit.
I don't know it either, but I think it's about the same, but
interesting.
Yeah, it's a bigger ring gauge. And then the new Oya, that is going to be whatever the heck, the La Oya de San Juan, that's going to be a 54 ring gauge.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be like 5.9 by 54. And then you have the Trinidad Vigia, which is also a 54 ring gauge.
Yeah, so we can see a trend here, which I think we got all pissed off when we were talking about them. About how Habanos is when we did the show where we were talking about the releases and we talked about how pissed off that they were going with the large ring gauges.
Well, I mean it's understandable. So you know you have those. We talked about the Bahique 56. You have the Romeo Y, which is 55, and then you have a couple of Figurados, some Cuabas, and Partagas Salomons, which are.
Yeah, I don't consider those.
So basically, besides the Bahique 56. The Romeo Y. Churchill is
the second largest.
It's the second largest ring gauge in regular production for Habanos. So, and you smoked it. You smoked some that I sent you. What did you think of it?
First thing, before I talk about what my thoughts are, I think, and I don't get me wrong, you might have more education on this because you've actually sat at a rolling table. But my understanding is when rollers are rolling larger ring gauges versus smaller ring gauges, they typically have more leaf in the cigar itself.
Yeah.
So the amount of Ligero in it is going to be larger accordingly. Whereas in a smaller cigar, you know, there might not be any Ligero at all, and if there is, it's just a little teeny tiny bit.
Yeah.
You know? also the amount of different types of leaves. Like, and I don't remember the types of leaves off the top of my head. You might, because you're drunk on mojito. But I know typically with the Habanos, they use, you know, like a Viso, Seco, and then Lajero. And in the NC world, you know, for, say, a Robusto, they might use four different types of leaves. If the blend gets a little bit larger, they might use five. But in a Corona or a Lancero, they might only use two.
Two or three.
Two or three, just because of the smaller ring gauge. So I think it's definitely something that, for some of the viewers that don't understand or don't know, when we're dealing with a larger ring gauge like this, you're definitely dealing with not just, the blends don't just change like, oh, well, they put more of it because it's bigger. They do change the actual blends themselves. So it was completely different than any of the other Romeo cigars that I've experienced in the past.
It was different. It was different in that sense. But I think that, you know, a lot of the times when you have different ring gauges, you have like, you know, if you have a line, whether you have like a 38 ring gauge to a 52 ring gauge, there's going to be differences. And I think it's always interesting to see those differences, but at the same time, it's always great to see a manufacturer blend a 38 ring gauge accordingly so that it's pretty similar to a 52.
Oh, yeah,
and
absolutely.
So that they're delivering that flavor profile. And I think Habanos does a very good job when they're blending a Y Churchill versus a Churchill to make it deliver those Romeo flavors. And I think the Y Churchill does that, and I think it's a great example of that, because there's a lot of times, and I'll be honest with a lot of non-Cuban manufacturers, where they blend a 58, a 60, 62 ring gauge cigar, and it sucks. And then if you smoke it in like a 48 or a 50, it's good.
And what's funny, too, is in the NC world, traditionally, if I don't like a blend that's large, I'll probably like it if it's small.
Yeah.
And vice versa as well. There's some, and I'm not going to name them, but there's one boutique company out there that, it's really funny. I reviewed their Robusto. I think it's posting anytime soon. And it was a good cigar, but I actually like the 60 ring gauge version better. Yeah. I hate 60 ring gauge, you know. But it was like they had mellowed out enough of that power that the balance was there, you know. Because they were just like, we'll throw more in there, and all of a sudden it's like, well, here's your balance, you dumbasses. You know what I mean? They didn't have it in the smaller one, but this one, I you know. As far as the Wyatt Churchill is concerned, one of my buddies, my buddy Todd, he's been threatening to send one to me forever. So if you're watching, Todd, sorry, you missed out on your chance. But he swears by these things. But he's a real big full body guy with a very, very diverse collection. I can see after smoking it why full body smokers really, really like this cigar. To me, it was... flavor-wise, I got this great stone fruit, some tea, some honey. It was very, very, very heavy on the palate. And in my review, I put that this is a perfect example for, you know, somebody who's a budding aficionado. If you want to experience body versus flavor together, and what I mean by that is, like, some cigars have a lot of body, but they don't necessarily, they're full body, but they're not necessarily full flavor. Some cigars are full flavored, but they don't have the body. This has both. I mean, there is tons of flavor, tons of body. I mean, it was really, really heavy, but no palate burn.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's the Cuban difference, if you will. In my opinion, that's the difference with the Habanos tobacco is they delivered in this cigar a ridiculous amount of body, a ridiculous amount of flavor, a ridiculous amount of power, and no palate burn whatsoever.
No, it's blended. It's blended incredibly. And the construction, I don't know about your construction, but my construction was just phenomenal. I mean, wonderfully from beginning to end.
Rest of my notes were second, third was I put extreme stone fruit.
Oh, yeah.
You know, which means that it was so extreme, it was just defined to the point where it's like, wow, this is, if you can't taste this, then you don't have a palate.
But, you know, it's that classic Romeo flavor, I think.
Oh, yeah, no, and I didn't get the classic floor. I get floral out of Romeo, and I didn't get it out of this one. I did at the end, I got a little bit of a light citrus, and I did get some youth. You know, I put in my, I think I put in my final thoughts, something, I don't have it up, but, you know, if this is, whatever this is, you got a really good box of them, because I don't see any reason why that won't just age into an extremely complex cigar. Like, I would be willing to bet if you put that box down for, like, say, 8 years, and you go back and smoke it, it'll be the best cigar you ever smoked. You know what I mean?
Potentially.
Potentially, of course. You know, you don't know, but it reminded me of when I smoked some really old Edmundos, and really, really money Monte Cristo number twos, to where you just get extremely bold and precise and distinct flavors. You know, the changes were really, really distinct in this cigar, and I think over time, you know, once it kind of calms down a little bit and starts to settle and the oils begin to marry, I would be willing to bet that that box is going to be unbelievable. But it'd be hard not to smoke because they're freaking good.
No, I've smoked through it. And, you know, I looked at them as one of those things that, yeah, they could, I don't know. For some reason, when I looked at them, I didn't see much aging potential. I don't know. I thought they were going to keep.
Oh, God.
I mean, that was me. I mean, yeah, I have a couple put away to age, but I'm not going to lie that they're so damn tasty right now that I smoke through them. I'm like, these are really good. These are solid. And it's like, it's one of those things that when you look at, like, I reviewed a Cohiba Esplenditos on Thursday, and I was like, yeah, these aren't ready. Like, I knew it wasn't ready.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I still reviewed it, and I'm like, no, why did I even...
And how old were they?
Probably a year.
Oh, okay,
which is,
okay.
I mean, but you know, like, that's what I mean. It's like, they need, it doesn't matter. I mean, that could be 3 years, and it's still not going to do anything.
Yeah.
It needs Cohiba's that need time.
Like eight.
Oh, yeah, Cohiba needs forever. But this Romeo was a year young box. It smoked wonderfully, and it's going to get better. And it's one of those things... It's a 55 ring gauge. It's not really my thing. So I'm just kind of smoking them. I handed them out to a friend.
The ring is uncomfortable to me, and I always punch larger rings like that. Just so that I get the draw of a smaller ring gauge. You know, it's so weird. I don't have it sitting out here. Let me show you. But I used to never like punches or never really dig them, and last year before IPCPR, I lost, like, I was notorious for losing cutters. And I'm so weird because, like, I don't lose a lot of things, but certain things I just lose the hell out of them.
Yeah.
And cutters are something I lose. And so I never lose my keys. That's something I've never lost in my whole life. So I bought a punch that would connect to my keys for IPCPR.
Yeah. A little Zyker demo.
Because I knew I would lose it if I took it to Vegas with me. I knew I'd lose any cutter I took with me.
Oh, yeah.
And now I'm completely addicted to it, and I've noticed that when I smoke larger ring gauges, if I just use the punch, I punch it once, I get the draw hits my palate like a smaller ring gauge.
Yeah. Concentrates, and you really get that wrapper flavor profile at the end, too.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was big. It was definitely big, but if anybody who looks at my review, you'll see I was burning my fingertips with that thing.
Yeah.
So it was good.
I'm interested because now I have all the Romeos. I have all the Churchills in the sense of petite, short, wide, and a regular Churchill.
Yeah.
And I almost just want to do a review of the entire collection, and just see, you know, right now, young, which one is the one that's smoking best for me.
Interesting. It'd be interesting to stack them. You know what I mean? Stack them all by third and see how the thirds go. Yeah, how they compete against each other, flavor wise, change wise, and all that kind of stuff.
But
just
for
to compare the blend profile.
Oh yeah, but for a 55 ring gauge, I mean, it's better than a lot of. I mean, they blended it right. You know what I mean? They blended it better than a lot of other 55 ring gauges out there.
Oh yeah, and there's a question here in the chat, which I could save for later, but I'll put it up now. And Miguel Rocha is asking, because the ring gauges are getting larger, does that mean an even longer age time? And I would say yes.
You gotta love that. The filler tobacco just isn't is as age as long as the wrapper. So yeah, I mean age.
No, and when you consider Ligero, if you've ever smoked a fresh cigar with Ligero, which I referred to that earlier with an E2, you could tell like the center core. It's weird, like the ash will burn in a pyramid, like this. And sometimes it'll burn off-centered and get funky, and you'll start canoeing and horseshoeing all wacky because that Ligero, the Ligero leaf that they put in the center of it...
Burns terribly.
It's way too strong, and it burns terribly. And so it really, that's where the aging comes into play and is a large factor. So I guess to answer Miguel's question, yeah, absolutely. A larger ring gauge definitely is going to need more age. That's why some of the smaller... cigars, the Petit Coronas, Morellas, all those kinds of things, you can smoke them pretty much right off the truck. You know, they may go through a short fermentation cycle for 3 to 6 months. Sometimes they hit two, but for the most part, the small ones are always going to age a little bit faster in that regard. I would think. And this is my opinion, but I would think those White Churchills in 8 years would be just absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah.
Once they hit that 6 to 8 year mark and that Ligero is really kind of calmed down and really settled, I would think it would be unbelievable. My opinion, but that's my guess.
It's because, you know, it's funny you talk about it because... A while ago, I was sitting down with Lito Gomez, and we were talking about stuff and how he ages all of his small batch and all of his a lot of other cigars for like 10 years. And I mean, and Lito Gomez and La Flor Dominicana is known for their Dominican Ligero. So he ages it, and it keeps that flavor profile, but it's just softer, and it's easier to smoke, and the construction is great with all those years of aging. And, you know, when I was down at Drew Estate, you know, Drew Estate has a very close relationship with ASP Tobacco, and you know, ASP Tobacco grows a lot in Esteli. It's a small company that it's very well known for their tobacco in Esteli. And I was smoking and blending with some ASP Ligero, and that, first of all, that tobacco is a beast. I mean, it'll knock you down. And that was just, I mean, it didn't burn well, but it produced tons of strength, and it's even. And I also experienced that with some double regrowth Ligero that I was smoking at Nika Sweeney with Skip Martin, who does the Cro-Magnon stuff and all the Roma Craft. And I probably smoked about a third of that catfish. And we were sitting in the Drew Estate, you know, we're in like the clubhouse, there was a bunch of us. And I smoked about a third of it. And I was like, oh my God, I need to eat dinner now because I'm about to die. I mean, it was just, killing me. So Ligero doesn't burn well, and you know, it needs to be blended well, and that's why the Oya Double Corona, there's no Ligero at all in that blend. There you look at Kappa. She loves it for it.
Yeah, so, exactly. It's, no it's Ligero.
Smokes wonderfully with it.
Yeah. Which is funny, actually. Miguel's response to our answer was, "Damn, 8 years." And then he says, in that sense, NCs have us spoiled. And really my response to that would be, the NC tobacco is aged so much longer before they actually come to the rolling table that they hit their stride much faster. And so I think most NC cigars need to be aged 6 months to a year before I want to touch them anyways. And that's basically when most NC cigars I buy... I don't care where they come from, Nicaragua, Dominican, Honduras. I age almost all of them at least 6 months before I touch them, if I can. And but I think they hit their grace period within, you know, 2 years, and then start going down.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's the classic example of differences are you have Habanos who makes their cigars, and you need to age it. Like, you know, you can smoke them now, but believe me when I tell you, you need to age them 3, 5 plus years. And then you have Padron, who they've aged their tobacco 8-10 years. And Padron says, smoke them now. They're ready to be smoked. You need to smoke them now. You know, and I've smoked, I mean, I have a couple Padron 45s that were from when they were originally released in 2008. And I can tell you now that they still smoke great, and I'm not bashing Padron, yeah. But they do not smoke as well as they did when they were first released in No Way.
Yeah.
And I noticed that, so I'm like, I'm just going to smoke them now because you're not getting much better than they already were. I mean, Padron says smoke them now. That's when they're meant to be smoked.
Yeah, exactly. So
they've already aged them for you. Smoke it. And that's the difference between aging the tobacco, then blending with it, and blending the cigar and then aging it and seeing where it goes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that.
Hey, you know what? Should we? I feel like doing a raffle because I need a new motorcycle. What do you think?
I just got rid of my liquor sickle, my scooter.
Did you?
Yeah, we just got rid of it, so I need another liquor cycle.
I think we should totally email Habanos SA and ask them for a bunch of free cigars so that we can sell them on our website and buy ourselves motorcycles to cruise the United States.
Could you donate me a box of H. Upman number 2 Reserva so I can go buy a bicycle?
That would be awesome.
I wonder how they'll take it.
So, yeah, I'm sure they'll be totally stoked.
Yeah, what's your address? We'll send them to you through customs.
Exactly. So let's get on to our next segment of the show. Since we're throwing in all these like hidden jokes, Harley understood what that one was.
Yeah, Harley did. Harley asked a great question in the Habanos forum. Yeah, I have it, I think. And the question was basically, maybe we need to kind of explain. Harley's question was, besides the obvious, are there any similarities between Habanos and Altadis when it comes to the same name cigars, you know, RYJ, Cohiba, etc.? Maybe we need to kind of explain this whole thing, because I know it can get a little confusing here. So, to all of you Cubans and non-Cubans out there, Altadis USA is the cigar company which handles distribution for a lot of brands in the United States, which include Romeo, Monte Cristo, H. Upman, and a lot of others. And they're based, that's Altadis USA, but they're a part of a company called Imperial Tobacco. Habanos SA handles distribution for and kind of production for all the Cuban brands, which include Cohiba, Romeo, Monte Cristo, and all the other ones. The interesting case is that General has Punch, Partagas, and Cohiba, and then they're not a part of Altadis, but Habanos has them. Now, Habanos and Altadis are owned by one company. Well, Habanos, 50% of Habanos is owned by Altadis.
Yeah. No, I know, because you'll see their stickers on some Cuban boxes, and I've had people go, why is there an Altadis?
Exactly.
You're sticking on my box.
And Altadis is owned by Imperial Tobacco. So basically, Habanos, some of it is owned by Altadis and Imperial, and people will tell you about this. If the embargo ever ended, it's Altadis who's going to start handling distribution for a lot of these Cuban brands into the United States. That's just the fact. That's just the reality of it. So Harley's question, you know, are there any differences, or wait, are there any other similarities between the names? You know, what I'd say is, you know, yes, in the sense that Altadis has a percentage of ownership of Habanos. I don't know what their control is, but it's been interesting to see since their involvement, because Altadis purchased those 2000. It's been about 14 years ago, I think, where they bought about 15%, 14%, you know, so much percentage, to see where they've gone in production of their cigars. I don't know. I think that Altadis has helped Habanos in kind of capturing the American market. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it can make sense. I mean, we're talking about a 55 ring gauge Habanos right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, they've been making a lot of, you know, Habanos for a market which is appealing to the United States. And hell, they're even releasing a limited edition 58 ring gauge Cohiba. So,
And they said that the 60 is in the works.
Yeah, so. The 60 is in the works, and it's not, the rest of the world really doesn't smoke large ring gauge cigars. So, you know, similarities. I think that Habanos is smart enough to pay attention that there are a lot of Americans smoking Habanos, so of course they're going to pay attention to what that market's smoking. And go from there. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that, Catfish?
I agree.
You know, the other big guy, if you ever want to pay attention to see who's kind of mimicking Habanos and kind of stuff coming out of Cuba, Pete Johnson Tatuaje is a great example.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
You know, you look at the original El Triunfador Lancero, which is that Connecticut broadleaf. Look at that band right next to a Rafael Gonzalez.
Uh-huh.
It's practically
identical. I just had one last night, and it was fantastic. I love it.
Oh, yeah.
I think I only have like two left, and I wish I had more.
Of the Pete's original Lancero.
Oh yeah.
It's probably in my opinion, it's probably one of the best Lanceros out there.
It's one of the best Connecticut broadleaf cigars out there.
Oh my god!
Hands down. So, some guy got all pissed off at me when I said that once, but whatever.
Really?
Yeah, I was like, I'm sure there's other good ones. Don't get me wrong, and taste is subjective, but dude, if you don't like that Lancero and you like Connecticut broadleaf, then there's something wrong with you, because you could smoke that through your nose. I mean, you could
snort
it like...
You know, it's one of those things like... And I actually got into a debate with this about a guy who smokes mostly Cubans. I was like, listen, you know, you smoke Habanos, and that's what you smoke. I was like, but if you want to smoke some Maduros, like, yeah, you can smoke Cohiba Maduro 5, that's great. But you need to smoke some Connecticut Broadleafs by Pete. Because, you know, El Triunfador Original is just, that's an awesome Connecticut Broadleaf wrapper. I mean, it's pretty damn terrific. But yeah, so that's kind of the similarities. I mean, other than that, you know, Altadis makes cigars with the same names. General does too, but none of them can. Have you ever smoked the Monte Cristo Epic, Catfish?
No.
Okay. I'd be interested.
I tend to stay away from high-priced Monte Cristo, Macanudo, Cohibas, and whatnot that are all, you know, the non-Cuban versions, if you will. Funny thing is, I love Monte Cristo White label, actually.
Yeah.
But I've heard a lot of people like the Epic. I just can't. To me, I can't fathom spending $13, $14, $15 on something like that. It's just no way in hell.
But then you have Regis is making a Edición Regional USA.
Yes, they are, and I should be, and I'll make sure you get some. But I should be getting some samples here soon, and I believe I'm pretty sure I'm gonna try and get you, and I gotta get Coop and Stogie Geek some as well, and just to give them a little shout out, Akil's gonna be on Stogie Geeks here soon. I'm not sure when, cause I don't remember, but definitely keep an eye out for that, cause I'm interested to see where this comes from, because he did a 56 ring gauge, you know, and I'm interested to see how he blended it, because I know his blending style and I know his taste, so I'm interested to see how he blended a large cigar like that.
I'm telling you that if the embargo ends anytime soon, there's going to be a regional edition for the United States, no doubt about it. And I'm calling it right now, and I'm saying this, that it's going to be Cohiba Edición Regional Estados Unidos, and it's going to be that Laguito 56. It's going to be that 6x56 ring gauge. And it's going to be like $40 a cigar.
Mm-hmm.
At least.
Probably. So I want to go over, this is a... I'm holding this in my hands right now.
Yeah, but, I saw that paper.
But I had a while back. I had you know, one of our viewers that we always talk about, Guy from France, my buddy Guy. I had to blow up his mailbox, old school American style, and send him a bunch of non-Cuban stuff. And I really wanted to see, get his opinion on some non-Cuban cigars, because, you know, in my conversations with him via, you know, email or you know, message, you know, I know it's hard for them to get that kind of stuff over there. And I know he and I tend to have similar tastes that we like together. So I was interested to see how he liked some of the non-Cubans that I like that aren't, you know, of the stronger varieties. And so, anyways, he had sent me a message recently to ask if I'd got his letter, and I haven't responded to it yet because I wanted to respond to it on the show. What I sent him was, I sent him a Regis Lancero, which is 6x38, so it's kind of like a Legito number 2. Is that it? 6x38?
It's about there. Yeah, it's like a, yeah.
I think that's Legato number 2 size. I can't remember what it is. Regis Robusto, which is a classic 4 7/8 by 50. The Orchant selection, the Orchant one, which is the one I like. I love the regular Robusto as well. I sent him a collective. I sent him a Curivari Reserva Limitada 4000, the one that made, I think it was my second number 2 cigar of the year. Ezra Zion Reagan, which was my number 1 cigar of the year last year. And then I sent him an Avo XO and an Avo Classic. And here's what's interesting to me is his notes. He sent me his notes, basically. All of the Regis, he said, all of them were very creamy and intense with herbal hints. And he liked the Lord Madsen the most, which is interesting because that one, to me, I think is the strongest one. Very nutty, biscuit flavors. Then the Collective, he said, was a very unique cigar with heavy hints of pepper and herbal flavors. I didn't think he would like that one. I'm assuming by an email I got from him that he really liked it. Then he had, let's see, the Curivari Reserva Limitada. He thought it was very peppery and coffee notes, and which is weird because I didn't get pepper from that at all. I got like a lot of floral undertones, and I love that cigar. And it's been aging in my humidor for at least a couple of years now, I would say. Reagan, creamy, smooth, and spicy, that makes sense. And then the Avos, he thought, were very mild and smooth with some floral hints. And overall, he said, all of them were peppery with lots of spices, but on the whole, no complexity.
Yeah.
And which is hilarious. And I would tend to disagree at times. I mean, I could see where he's coming from, in all honesty, and see why he would think that, because of the way the flavors are presented in some of these. But he said the best and the ones that were very unique were all of the Regis, and he really liked the Regis. So if anything, coming from a guy in France who likes Croix d'Orsay, I know you know, Akil is really trying to nail the Cuban-esque type flavors with his cigars, and so I thought it was interesting that he liked all the Regis stuff, specifically the Lord Madsen, the 6x38 Lancero. I mean, that wasn't necessarily one that I thought. I didn't think he would like that one as much as the Robusto or the Orchant, because those are the ones I like. So,
well, you know, what's funny is that, you know, you have, I mean, for you and me, it's, you know, you have Don Pepin at my father, who basically, and now you have Arsenio Ramos at Casa Fernandez, who replaced Don Pepin when Don Pepin left. And these are really two old Cuban guys who've come to Miami/Nicaragua and started blending for themselves and for companies these Cuban-esque cigars with all Nicaraguan tobacco. You know, these, like, let's make, well, I mean, every once in a while there's Connecticut broadleaf or Mexican San Andreas, but either way, they're making these Cuban-esque cigars with Nicaraguan tobacco. And, you know, a lot of these smokers are like, oh, these are awesome Cuban-esque, blah, blah, blah. And to you and I, when we smoke a Habanos, we're like, that's not Cuban-esque at all.
No, and so which
it's
is
not.
Funny.
It's funny Nicaraguan.
To me, I guess when I think of Avo, the last thing I think about is spice. Like, to me, Avo is very mild and is not spicy at all. But not necessarily the most complex cigar, so I can see where he would think that they didn't have a lot of complexity. Because I don't necessarily think they're the most complex, but the profile to me is very mild. I would never, ever, ever in a million years think that they're spicy. But I think what's interesting to consider is, here's a guy who never smokes all the stuff that you're talking about, like the Pepins and the Arsenio Ramos. Like, I was watching Arsenio Ramos smoke cigars at IPCPR last year, and it was hilarious. He'd smoke a cigar, and he'd be like, and basically just toss it after a couple things, and then he'd smoke another one and be like, all right, and then smoke another one and be like, all right. And I was noticing, like, the cigars that he really liked were all, like, super strong pepper bombs. And so, you know, when you take a guy like that, and he's blending all these really strong cigars, and for you and I, when we smoke them, we're like, an Avo? That's not strong and peppery. Like, you're psycho.
No, not at all.
Yeah, you're crazy. You don't know what you're talking about, and your palate is shit. But that's because we're relating it to all of these Casa Fernandez and DPG cigars that are the extreme of spicy and peppery and full body and all that kind of stuff. So I was very intrigued to get his take on those, and I think really the difference is probably is where, you know, you and I started versus where this guy's been smoking Habanos for freaking 40 years.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? So it was very interesting. I don't think this will be the last trade that he and I do, because I definitely want to send him some other stuff like Elogio and maybe some Illusione and those kind of cigars and see what he likes. You know what I mean? Because
there's a couple cigars we need to throw in there for some curveballs just to see what it is. I mean, see what he thinks. But yeah.
Well, it's interesting. I didn't think he'd like the Collective because of how heavy that sits on the palate, because I don't like the Collective. I don't think it's a bad cigar. It's just, right now, it's not something that I would dig. And I've had enough of them. You know, when I had the first one, it was like, whoa, this is a little too heavy for me. It's unique, and I could see why it's a very interesting cigar and why they came up with that blend, but it was just a little too much for me. And then I waited, and I had one. The last couple that I've had them later in the day or as a second or third cigar of the night, and they still had that, and so that's why I'm just going to let my box sit for a couple years and let that medio tempo really mellow and age before I revisit it again. But he seemed to dig it, which blew my mind. You know, and I'm like, wow, I didn't think he would like it at all, but he did. So very interesting, you know.
It's really interesting because, you know, you smoke Bajiques and Habanos talks about the medio tempo in the Bajiques. And, you know, you smoke Casa Fernandez, and when they start talking about Bajiques, you know, I think Casa Fernandez, Miami Reserva, not the Maduro, just the Reserva, you know, the Collective, they talk about the medio tempo. And the difference between the two, because Cohiba and the Bajique, that medio tempo, it's in there, but it's much more balanced. It's a little bit lighter, for you, for me at least. In the Collective and Casa Fernandez, you can really... it's heavy. And, you know, I remember because I smoked them when they first came out in 2011, I smoked it. I'm like, wow, these things are heavy. And I put them down and I sent them. And I know Coop of Stogie Geeks and Cigar Coop, he didn't like it in 2011. And I sent them probably like 2 months ago, maybe 3 months ago. I sent them some Casa Fernandez Miami Reservas with that medio tempo to them, which it's been aging for 3 years. It's been sitting in my humidor for 3 years. And I took the bands off. They're like, wow, what is... They're like, is this Cuban? They're like, what is this? And I'm like, no, that's the Casa Fernandez Miami Reserva that's just been aged for 3 years. And they're like, wow, they're like, this is really good. And all of them, I think even Stogie Sand, were like, I did not like this when it first came out. I like it now. It's lighter now. It's much more flavorful now. And I think that's the difference between the two because... You know, maybe Casa Fernandez is putting stuff out stronger when, you know, Habanos is putting stuff out. It's a little bit lighter.
Well, I'd agree with that. I mean, another example for me is George Rico. I love George Rico's blending style. But all this stuff is way too strong for me. And all of his stuff, when I age it for two or more years, I absolutely love it. So same kind of thing, really. I just think with the Habanos, they tend to younger. They don't have the heavy finish. I just think it's the balance that they gain over time. Specifically the Bahique, it's very much unbalanced at first, and once they get a few years down, that's when the balance starts to take place, and that's where you get the really, really fantastic depth and complexity that kicks your butt, but also excites your palate. You know what I mean?
It's going back to, Nicaragua. It's when I first smoked Davidoff Nicaragua, the first person I really talked about the cigar with was Jose Blanca. Jose Blanco smokes a lot of Cubans. He smokes, I think, everything. I mean, he's probably one of those cigar smokers that actually smokes everything. And he and I started talking about it, and now it's one of those cigars and I know Davidoff does very well. I mean, it's probably one of the most international brands. It's probably the international brand out there. It's interesting. I'd love to smoke a Davidoff Nicaragua with kind of the blending panel and the executives of Habanos, and be like, what do you think of this? What do you think of this cigar? Where is this to you? Is this too much? I mean, because in terms of a Nicaraguan Puro, if you smoked it, it is not like any other Nicaraguan Puro on the market.
Well, I'll tell you what. I know a very good friend of mine who is an insane collector, and he has traveled to Cuba many times, and he has the kind of connections where he sits down with those kind of guys that you're talking about. And he's exchanged, the finest Dominican and Nicaraguan cigars with these guys. And he says this, they all, when they smoke them, they go, yeah, it's good. It's just not as good as Cuban tobacco. So, and maybe they're, obviously, I think the Nicaraguan guys are going to say, oh, it's good, but it's not as good as Nicaraguan tobacco. And the Dominican, it's good, it's not as good as Dominican tobacco. But, we'll see. I think in a couple years, I was having a conversation with somebody the other day, and I think as more of these companies pop up in Nicaragua and have time to, and the capital to really sit on and age their tobacco for years and years and years and years and ferment it properly, I think we'll start to see more Cuban-esque type stuff popping out of there. So, but for now, there's not a lot of them that come close to me.
I'll tell you, pay attention, Nicaragua. I think Nicaragua in the next couple of years, and it's just paying attention to what manufacturers say and everything, they're about to go through some issues which are going to make it very challenging. But pay attention to manufacturers in the DR, because I think with Jose Seijas and Matilda, Jose Blanco with Señorial, I think Dominican tobacco and Dominican companies are really making a comeback. And I think they're really going to kind of show the greatness of Dominican tobacco and kind of bring that Caribbean and try and compete with that Cuban quality.
I hope so. I love Dominican stuff. I mean, personally, yeah. That's why I was really excited that Blanco was putting that out and that Cejas was putting out the Matilda.
It's so good. It's so good.
I know. I want some. I'm too nice to hit him up and be like, hey, you should send me samples for review,
If you can't get them at your local, let me know and I'll send you.
There's no Señorials or Matildas around here, so.
Well, Señorials aren't out yet, but when they're out.
He just released them. Him and Emma have been blasting the internet about that. They just released them. So.
But I don't think they're out yet. I think they're doing a couple shops. They go to Cigar Inn. If they're out, I'm going to be pissed because I'm going to call Jose up and be like, what the hell? I can buy a box now? So I can smoke the final production now? But it'll be interesting to see how it smokes now that it's been resting for a little while. So, but, I mean, there's a big difference in the tobaccos. And, I agree with you. I think, for the most part, I think, Habanos puts out stuff a little bit more balanced. More flavor-oriented.
To me, it's just in the finish. The finish is everything, and I don't see. There's very few Nicaraguan companies that come up with, or Dominican companies that come up with that really long, balanced finish that just makes me go, ah. And when I get done smoking it, my palate isn't burned out at all. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the main thing. And that's going back to the topic of this show, the Wide Churchill. I think that is, to me, one of the best full-bodied Habanos blends that I have. That's the best full-bodied Habanos blend that I've smoked, hands down, because it had very good balance. It wasn't the most complex cigar, but it was extremely distinct. Very distinct notes, very heavy notes that are just like, you know, finishing. It's like my palate wasn't confused at picking out notes, you know, here and there, going, what does that taste like? What does this taste like? You know, a lot of times when I review, not a lot of times, but the way I review is when I taste something, I don't note it until I've tasted it for at least like 5 minutes. You know what I mean? And it's consistently hitting my palate, and I'm like, okay, yeah, that's really this, because it allows me to kind of sit on a flavor and understand the flavor and relate it to what I think it is in my head. And to me, that cigar was just like a baseball bat, just bashing my palate like, this is stone fruit, bitch, and you are getting that shit, and yes, you are tasting it. You know, I mean, it was like a heavy metal cigar. It's just fucking right in your face, just kicking ass. And so given the ring gauge, I don't think that, for me, I would stick with a 10 box. I don't think I'd ever buy a box of it unless I just had the capital and didn't give a shit. For a full body cigar, I'd say that's the best full body Habanos that I've had. And I think it's where they show that to me, that's, if somebody out there who's a non-Cuban smoker wants to know the difference, smoke that and get back to me, because then once you smoke that, you realize how full and how flavor and how heavy it is, how much it has, and then when you get done, you're like, did I just smoke a cigar?
Yeah.
I don't feel like it, but I still have this amazing taste in my mouth an hour later, and I don't want to drink anything or wash my mouth out or anything, because I still have this amazing taste in my flavor that's lasted hours, you know what I mean? So.
Yeah, it's a very good large ring age cigar. And I like saying that a 55 ring gauge is a large cigar, because
it is.
It is a large ring gauge cigar. And it's one of those things when you look at the United States market, you're like, oh my God, this is a nightmare. It's like, where are you going? But the 55, I mean, it's making anything bigger than that regularly, it's just a nightmare, in my opinion. So, but yeah.
It's probably easier for them to produce the larger rings, too, because they don't have to have the level 9 rollers rolling them, you know? They can have the lower-level guys. So I would wonder if there's variability in the boxes of the larger ring gauges as well, you know, as far as flavor, consistency, and all that is concerned.
The ones I've smoked, the Wide Churchills I've smoked have been, I mean, it's one box, but it's been... You have to think that it's multiple rollers, and they're looking at the color of the wrapper afterwards. I mean, so it's like you have multiple rollers rolling these, and then you have guys sorting it, and then they're looking at the wrapper coloring to match it. So you have to think one.
Yeah, that's true.
It's probably different rollers rolling these.
But well, I've never heard anybody have bad feedback on it. Everybody I've talked to just says it's fantastic.
It's the feedback. The only negative feedback I've heard has been, it's just a Romeo flavor profile in a larger format. And my comment to them was, so basically, you really don't have negative feedback except the fact that you don't like the large ring gauge. And they're like, yeah, I'd rather just smoke a smaller ring gauge. I was like, so if you wanted a larger ring gauge, it's going to do exactly what it does. And they're like, yeah, absolutely. So that's really not negative feedback. It's just more of a, I don't like large ring gauges, which just goes to show that Habanos knows how to do it.
True, and I think I hear more often than not people who have love-hate relationships with the short Churchill, the regular Churchill, the Cazadores, and the Bellicoso. Those Vitolas, it just seems like people are like, oh, I hate that. It sucks. It needs tons of age. Or, oh, I love them, you know, and I love the Churchill, but I hate the short Churchill. The Bellicoso sucks. You know, and I don't know, but I've yet to hear anybody say they don't like the Wide Churchill.
Yeah.
So I guess that's saying something. Maybe, and who knows? Maybe they're paying a little bit more attention to it because they know it's blended for the American market. I mean, you know, in Europe, or you know, Great Britain, for example, a cigar that big is going to get taxed like crazy, you know, because they tax the tax by size.
Yeah, they're not going to pick it up. They're just going to go pick up a petite or a short Churchill. So, and it's, but hell, I mean, the United States market, we're about to get taxed like no other or get priced like no other with
FDA
the larger
bullshit.
Cigar. FDA, baby.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
So, but yeah, man. Well, gosh, man, we've gone over the hour, man, and we've really talked it up. We've been rocking it.
We have.
But we'll be back. Hold on. Let me look at the date.
Yeah, I don't know. I got to give a shout out to this local club. There's a man club here in town called Culebras, I thought was a great name for a cigar club.
That's an awesome name. I don't think anyone's really done that. Culebras.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
That's awesome.
But there's a private cigar club here in town, and they invited me to come out and hang out for the night, and it sucks because it's not that expensive, relatively speaking, but it's, for me and the amount of money I make a month, which is nothing, it's a lot of money to go be in the club, and so they're having an open house tonight. They invited me down. And I'm excited to go hang out with the guys and see what it's like. I heard they've got big screen TVs, leather couches, and they do cigar events there. And so I'm actually, if it's cool, I may see if I can do a live show there, because I think it'd be interesting if we did a live show where, you know, myself and maybe a couple guys there are all smoking, you know, the cigar that we're talking about on the show.
Yeah, exactly. One of these shows, we got to send out the cigar we're smoking to a bunch of people, and we're going to have them on here. We got to get a bunch of non-Cuban smokers to smoke some Cubans with us.
We got to have definitely got to have Logan on here, because I want to laugh at him when he says something sucks and tell him his palate is shit.
No, but I will tell you this, that we are down in Nicaragua, and I gave him a cigar. I said, you need to smoke this.
Uh-huh.
And I want your honest opinion on it. And he respected it, and he said, okay, I'll smoke it first thing in the morning where my palate's fresh. And he smoked a Romeo and Juliet of Churchill.
Was it unbanded?
No, it was. He knew what it was. I told him what it was. I gave it to him. I was like, boom, smoke this in the morning. I was like, and I want you to know. Because he doesn't really like Habanos. And he smoked, and he's like, wow, I really like this.
Yeah.
I was like, I thought you would. So I'm not gonna go give him a K d'Orsay. He'll bash that up. But we'll get some guys on there. We're gonna have to find a cigar which we think is really gonna speak to the kind of maybe throw a curveball to some of these guys.
Yeah. For sure. Just have a little round table. You know, I think it'd be nice. I think it would be nice to do get some other cigar personalities out there that aren't necessarily connected to specific brands, you know, to hang out with us as well.
Oh yeah, just get some people out there who smoke a variety of things, and you know, maybe we'll get Cigar Vixen on here. She knows what's up.
I think she would be a good guest.
She smokes a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Anyways, so when is our next show? Was it the 31st?
I just looked this up, and then I got off.
Hold on.
31st, 8 o'clock.
31st? Okay, 31st, 8 o'clock, yeah, because I got my early gig that night.
May 31st, 8 p.m.
And if you guys want, I know Waldo, one of the guys in our chat, just posted a question. If you guys go to forums.habanoscritic.com, you can always post any questions that you have there. The question that he just posted, I think we're going to dedicate an entire show to, so I'm not really going to get into it because we'll start babbling for.
If the embargo gets lifted, will you see non-Cuban cigar companies closing shop?
We'll talk about that later.
That's a good question. Yeah, that'll take.
There's a bunch of them really, you know, if you guys get a chance, go to Habanos Critic. HabanosCritic.com is basically our mother website. That's where you'll see all of our reviews and our informative articles and whatnot. And the forum is forum.habanoscritic.com. You can get there from habanoscritic.com.
You can even get there from Cigar Federation. If you go to the little tab that says Cubans, click on the Cubans and you'll get to us.
And that's, you know, we always broadcast on Cigar Federation. That's my home away from home. And so if you guys ever have any questions, just hit us up on Cigar Federation, hit us up on Habanos Critic or the forums, and let us know, and we'll definitely get to them as we go through the shows. Or if you guys want to see a certain cigar or a certain type of show, we're definitely going to do a buyer's guide here soon. It's just a matter of getting out of the country and visiting our friendly neighborhood local LCDHs get our collections up to do. We're gonna do a cheapo buyer's guide here soon, and that should be interesting. Maybe in July.
I might have to do a little bring a video crew with me in November when I'm up in Canada. So we'll have to do something awesome then. But yeah, so thanks for tuning in, y'all. It's been Habanos Critic and What Embargo. And good night, and thanks for tuning in, man.
The ducks suck.
The ducks suck. Getzlaf, go on home, Failure. Go Kings.
Exactly. Go Kings. So, anyways, we'll see you guys on May 31st. Hope everybody has a good night.
Night, y'all.